Two balls and one strike. The pitch. Hits it high in the air, right center field. Hamilton looks back. He's at the wall. He leaps. It's gone! Home run! Number 53! And Pete Alonso stands alone as Major League Baseball's rookie home run king.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Boy, that's a great call. Some good players, some nice guys, some real good broadcasters for that Mets team on TV and on radio, and that was the voice of our old friend and colleague Wayne Randazzo. Doing the Mets games, who joins us right now here on Inside the Clubhouse on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Good morning, Wayne. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are good. And Bruce Levine, Wayne sounds good. You get that feeling of pride. Get that feeling of pride when you hear a Wayne Randazzo call as if he were somehow the spawn of 670 The Score out there doing us proud.
Well, Wayne put in an awful lot of hard work long before he crossed our trail. But it was great because when we first started the show, Matt, back in 2013, Wayne was my co-host. And he had to suffer through this like you have for a long period of time before he was able to move on. Wayne, it's great to have you on. Happy holidays to you and your family as well. They're all safe and really full of joy. As far as the New York Mets go, let's start right with the top of the line. You have a new owner in Steve Cohen, and he wants to win. He's not afraid to spend money. He wants the best all the way around. Is there some sense of feeling that former Cub president of baseball operations Theo Epstein might at some point, not in 2021, but at some point, be the executive of choice by Mr. Cohen going forward?
Yeah, maybe. You know, I think when you look back at the Ricketts family's ownership, you know, they were able to connect with Theo pretty much right away coming out of the gate. As soon as they got the team, you know, Theo was ready to leave Boston. And, you know, the timing is somewhat similar now. You know, Steve Cohen did make Sandy Alderson the team president, which is a great choice. You know, there aren't many executives out there like Sandy who's got that incredible experience, who's won before, and of course the familiarity he has with the Mets organization. It makes him a great fit. But, you know, Sandy's 73 years old, and team president is a big job. You know, we know Sandy's had some health problems over the years, so it's fair to wonder how long Sandy will do that job, and if it's a short-term stay, if it's only a year or two just to get the ball rolling, then yeah, maybe there is a connection with Theo Epstein in the future that makes sense for the Mets. Certainly, you know, the Mets, it'd be tough to do any better than Theo Epstein and what he's done in Boston and in Chicago. So, you know, if it's out there and it works, personally, I'd love to see it because I think Theo would be great for that franchise like he would for any franchise. And we'll see if it does come to that in the future, certainly not now.
You know, I want to make sure people understand what the feeling is now that Steve Cohen has taken over and in terms of how he has talked about things. It's very common to have optimism when a new owner takes the job, but this is, you dream of having a hobbyist, a rich hobbyist with a heart. And Steve Cohen said, quote, "When I thought about this, I can make millions of people happy. What an incredible opportunity that is." So, you know, that's how I'm thinking about this. He's talking about owning the Mets. "I'm not trying to make money here. Okay, like I have my business at 0.72. That's his hedge fund. I make money over there. So here, you know, it's really about building something great, building something for the fans, and winning." I mean, that is a dream to have an owner talk like that. And it does not seem like it's BS, Wayne Randazzo. What are the feelings around the Mets right now?
Well, there's a tremendous optimism around this team. You know, they won the pennant in 2015, and there was a lot of optimism going into the 2016 season, thinking they could come right back and go to the World Series again. You know, you look back over the years at when the Mets really had some decent teams in the early 2000s, and even in that 2006, 7, and 8 period, the optimism, I would say, right now is 1986 level off the charts. That's where fans are right now. They are just absolutely overjoyed that this miracle man has come in to rescue the franchise. You know, the Wilpon family, they oversaw the Mets franchise for 40 years. They were the longest tenured owners in baseball at the time that they had left. But, you know, the Bernie Madoff situation really changed the way they ran the team. And there was, you know, this sort of penny pinching that was going on out of necessity that kind of held the Mets back a little bit. And there won't be any penny pinching now. You know, Steve Cohen is richer than the second, third, and fourth richest owners in baseball combined. This is a guy who's got money beyond what we could even imagine. And he's hoping to put some of these resources into the Mets. It's his favorite team. He's from Long Island. He's been obsessed with owning a team. He revealed the other night on SNY that he actually bought the Bill Buckner ball at an auction for over $400,000. I mean, this is a true blue Mets fan who's got all the money in the world to make this team a champion. And the fans are extremely excited, and they want to see how this goes and how it pays off. And, you know, they expect the Mets to sign at least one top free agent, if not more than that. Maybe make a big trade. You know, the Mets fans are dreaming in a way that I haven't seen before. They're like, yeah, sign Trevor Bauer, Springer, trade for Lindor, get all these guys. And it doesn't seem all that far-fetched that the Mets will at least make a move to get a few of those guys.
One of the voices of the New York Mets, Wayne Randazzo, our good friend, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. And Wayne, the comparisons of New York and Chicago as far as White Sox, Cubs, now Yankees, Mets. Do you think that for the first time in a long time, the New York Yankees feel some sense of challenge because you have a new owner with the Mets and a guy that's not afraid to spend money and say we're going to win World Series and maybe grab some of the headlines from them? Or are Yankee fans, and Met fans, and that's how it is?
Yeah, you can't really challenge the Yankees in the sense of the history. You know, the Yankees will always have the 27 championships. They'll always have that dominance over the sport for decades on end. You can never be that. But what you can be is a competitive team in your own league. You know, the Mets can easily have the headlines. There's nothing stopping the Mets. You know, when they're good, The city really does revolve around them. The sports talk show hosts all talk about the Mets. There shouldn't be a feeling of being the little brother. And I think that there have been times where the Mets certainly did compete and did win and did grab all those headlines, and they did feel like their own entity. And the city is so big, they could easily both coexist and easily both do well and stay out of each other's way. And, you know, I think where the Mets kind of got lost here in the shuffle was trying to compete with the Yankees. And Steve Cohen said in his first press conference that the Yankees are just one of the 29 other teams. And I think that's the way the Mets should look at it. Instead of feeling like they have to be something they're not, the Mets can be who they are and still win and still have all the headlines and all of the optimism of New York City without having to worry about the Yankees. And I think that's where the Mets' thoughts and minds should be, and I think that's where they're headed.
I'm looking at the depth chart for the New York Mets, and third base, J.D. Davis. What is the feeling there? How about Chris Bryant?
You don't like J.D. Davis?
Can I interest you in a Chris Bryant, Wayne Randazzo? Well, now you got a big old hole at second base with Robinson Cano's facing a one-year suspension for a second violation, and that's brutal. But I'm trying to figure out what the possible match is for Chris Bryant. Anybody left in that system after you gave so much to Seattle for Cano and Edwin Diaz?
They've got some pieces in the system. I think they have some major league ready players now. I think J.D. Davis is a possibility to be traded, and he's a good player. You know, he's in his mid-20s. He comes from Houston. He's got a good background. He's a great hitter. He had a very good year in 2019. You know, 2020 wasn't as good, but I think there's still all the potential to do what he did last season. He's got a great arm at third. You know, he can still work on his defense a little bit. He's a good player. So you talk about a major league caliber player that could be traded. Mm-hmm. You know, Ahmed Rosario is another guy like that, a shortstop where You know, he hasn't been a great fielder at short, but he's certainly a guy with a lot of tools. He's very fast. He's got a good bat. And he could be a trade bait as well, because the Mets do have a pretty good lineup as they sit right now, even without Cano. You know, Jeff McNeil, his best position is second base anyway, so he would make a lot of sense to go there. And the Mets, you know, maybe they do need a shortstop. And, you know, Andrés Giménez came up last season. He was really good. But I don't know if he's a guy you want to put in your lineup every day. I think the Mets do have real interest in Francisco Lindor. And yeah, I don't know if they want to take on Chris Bryant right now. You know, Chris has had a couple of tough seasons. And yeah, I know he's trying to look to resurrect his career in some sense, where you get a guy Lindor, you sign him long term, you don't really have to worry about any of that. So we'll see. I think Bryant's a good fit somewhere. I just don't know if it's the Mets.
Wayne, if the New York Mets sign Trevor Bauer, are they the favorite in the National League East, and are they a favorite to go to the World Series with the pitching they do have, and knowing that the Mets have always prided themselves on being a pitching organization from its very inception back in the 60s?
Yeah, that's why it was weird to see in 2020 how badly they struggled. After Jacob deGrom, you know, they had nothing. Noah Syndergaard was out because of Tommy John surgery, and we don't really expect him back until midseason in 21. You know, Marcus Stroman didn't pitch. He's re-signed and ready to go for next year. Still, there's the rotation is thin. They do need some starting pitching, whether that's Trevor Bauer or some of these next-level guys like a Jake Odorizzi or someone like that. I will say that, you know, Atlanta just signed Charlie Morton. The Braves have that great bullpen. They've got a very full lineup, although, you know, Marcell Ozuna is a free agent. We'll see where he ends up. But I still would say Atlanta's the team to beat in that division, although I think the Mets will compete for a playoff spot in 21. You know, I think they will make the moves they need to make to do that. But, you know, the Braves are still going to be really good, and I wouldn't just hand the division over to the Mets if they sign Trevor Bauer or anybody, really, even if they do get two or three of these guys that are out there that they feel like they can get. You still got to beat Atlanta, and that's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating division. If I were the Cubs, I'd be talking to every team in that division, trying to convince them and trying to build up a market for some of their tradable guys. Absolutely. What can you tell us about Noah Syndergaard in terms of timeline and the expectation that he will resume being Noah Syndergaard at some point?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's certainly a compelling one for Syndergaard, because this is the last year of team control. You know, he was a rookie in 2015, and so this is it. He's a free agent after 2021. The Mets have a couple of those guys. You know, Michael Conforto, too, is a free agent after 2021, and I think there's thoughts around the Mets that they'd like to extend both of them, but Conforto, I think, is first on that list because, you know, instead of coming off an injury, he's coming off one of his best seasons in the major leagues, and he's kind of entering that prime of his career. Whereas Syndergaard, you know, before he got hurt, he was coming off his worst season in the majors, and then now you're throwing Tommy John on top of that. So it's hard to say what Noah Syndergaard's going to look like. You know, the expectation is that he'll still throw 100 miles an hour, you know, and he'll still have to work on that secondary stuff and try not to be as hittable as he was in 2019. So it's an interesting conundrum because Syndergaard's still pretty young. You know, he got to the big leagues at a young age. He'll be entering free agency still in his late 20s. And I would think even if he doesn't come back completely strong in the middle of 2021, if he comes back in July and is just so-so in the second half of the season, I still think that he's going to get a lot of people interested in him to sign as a free agent. So I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting year for Syndergaard and how he rehabs and how he looks coming off the injury and what he can do as far as his free agency goes.
That's the voice of Wayne Randazzo, one of the voices of the New York Mets on radio, and our friend for many, many years, a Chicagoan and a proud one. Wayne, in closing with you, what were the challenges for you and Howie Rose and the other Met broadcasters this year with trying to do things off monitors for those away games and empty ballparks? How tough was that for you? I know you started many, many years ago in Class A doing games where you'd do 10 or 15 different jobs just to stay on and get that experience. But what were the the special challenges from this year for you?
Yeah, you know, the empty ballparks didn't bother me as much as I thought it would, because you know, you just kind of get in the game anyway, and you're just wrapped up in it, and you know, you can kind of overlook the crowd noise and the fans not being there. There were some moments where, you know, it's two strikes, two outs, a big moment in the game, and you let that crowd roar, that anticipation of the pitch kind of fill the radio. We didn't have that this year, so, and that was noticeable. But the monitors and doing the games that way, it's just a totally different experience, because when you're watching the game live, you know, you're on top of everything. You're seeing it as it's happening, and you can call it as you see it. On TV, it's just so different, because you're waiting. You're anticipating more. You're waiting to make sure the ball is caught. You're seeing everything in a different dimension. So you have to make sure what you're seeing is what's happening, and you're a beat behind everything. So it just, there's a tentativeness to calling the game off a monitor that you don't have when you call it live. And that was an adjustment. And there's sometimes, you know, especially for a day game, there's glares and there's all this stuff that you're not used to. And it's just tough to see the ball. And I think Howie and I were good about saying, you know, we're doing our best here. If we get something wrong that we normally wouldn't, or if it seems like we're just kind of off, it's because we're doing the game differently, and we're trying to give you the best that we can. So I think we were pretty honest about that. And, you know, overall, I think most people couldn't really tell the difference. I think you'd really have to have more of a trained ear to tell the difference in calling the games off the monitor as opposed to seeing it live. So it was interesting. You know, we got through it, and we hope we never have to do it again.
You bet. Wayne, thanks so much, Wayne. Buddy, for joining Matt and I. And keep up the great work. Who knows, someday, you know, you might be working around me and Matt again. You never know.
Well, that would be wonderful, and miss you guys, and great to talk to you.
Take care. You too, Wayne. Thanks so much. Got to be good times being around the Mets these days. Steve Cohen, he's got the right attitude. He's been interacting with fans on Twitter, Bruce, and somebody said, "What are you going to do about Bobby Bonilla Day? It's an embarrassment every year when they have to pay him, you know." And Steve Cohen said, "Why don't we embrace it? Have him at the park on Bobby Bonilla Day, hand him a big oversized check and let him run a lap around the field and everybody celebrate it," which is a, you know, of course it's not going to happen, but just the idea of leaning into the skid, driving into the skid, sure, at that point and embracing it is the right way to approach life and probably baseball ownership too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all that would work except for getting Bonilla at this point in time to do a lap. He might need the assist of a 2022 Corvette to get him around the ballpark.
Well, you know, maybe the bullpen cart. You know, they could find a way to do it. He's Bruce
him
Levine.
Him and Mr. Met driving in. Yeah, it would be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Matt Spiegel. What are we going to do when we come back, Bruce?
We are going to talk to the Executive Vice President of Marketing for the Chicago White Sox, Mr. Brooks Boyer, going to join us, talk a little bit about the season upcoming, White Sox tickets, everything you need to know, White Sox fans, about the future of your team and what it might look like at the ballpark next year.
670 The Score is where you are. It's Inside the Clubhouse. That's coming up next. Keep it here. Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Matt Spiegel and Bruce Levine. As the baseball offseason rolls slowly, stagnantly forward, is the baseball offseason calendar broken, Bruce? It sure feels like it.
I don't know about that. Maybe our next guest will give us a better idea about what that is all about.
Our next guest joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
The Senior Vice President, Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer of your Chicago White Sox, our friend Brooks Boyer, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. And Matt, you need to know this, that up until about 10 years ago, the Boyer family did not have a television set. And at that point, both Brooks and his wife, Julie, welcomed six children into the family, and then they got a TV. So it's really great bringing in our good friend Brooks Boyer. And where do you go from that introduction, Brooks?
That's what I'm saying, especially during a pandemic. Or you get a dog, one or the other.
It's great having you on. And it's been a long time since Matt and I have talked to you. With the off season coming up here and still a lot of unknowns as we know it, how are you approaching your season ticket owners and your fans as far as presuming baseball at the ballpark next year and being able to operate like years past?
Sure. Well, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on. Love your show, as you guys know, and love it that Chicago gets to talk baseball in the off season. Like we do, you know, every Saturday with you guys. So thanks for doing what you guys do. It is obviously unique and it's different because we have to be very honest and very transparent with our season ticket holders, with our people who buy group ticket packages or buy suites, whatever it may be. We have to be very honest with them and say, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, obviously, this is a very interesting and a very fun team with lots of star players and lots of star power, with you know whatever the word is that Matt can use. Bruce, you and I don't use big words like Matt, but whatever that word
true.
Is, that is a significantly high ceiling. That's certainly what this club has, and so we talk to our season ticket holders a lot about what this ball club's going to look like when it gets on the field. We're obviously all hoping and praying for a vaccine. Not just for baseball, but for everybody who's been impacted by the virus, and hopefully we're looking at full stadiums next year. And you know, and using a baseball term, you know, we're planning. Our fastball is planning for a season. It's planning for a season with fans, and then whatever curveball is thrown to us, we'll adjust to it. So that's our planning going into this. We're going to be ready and prepared for a season. You know, obviously, you know, when you get ready for a season, something like Sox Fest would be right around the corner from now, in the latter parts of January. And that's going to be virtual because we just don't know. We don't know how quickly the vaccines are going to change our world. But we're trying to be prepared for everything and be as open and transparent with our fans as possible.
Bruce, I really hope Brooks gets to do his job in full next year because
me too.
I know you do because there is no better time for a fan base than to have that feeling of next. Like I think we're here. I think we're this good, and I think this team, in terms of the players and the roster, can still have that feeling and can still generate that feeling. And it must have been very painful, Brooks, to go through last year and not be able to scheme ways that you always have to make it exciting when it was already exciting, you know, and to invite fans in. That I'm betting you have a big file folder full of ideas that you did not get to use last year.
Well, it is. It's so hard because when you think of, you know, almost the life cycle of a team and how that works, and you know, you invest so much into a rebuild, and you know, we talked about being transparent with our fans about the virus. I think we were very transparent with our fans as this club was being built, how it was being built, what we were trying to do, and what the end goal was going to be. And last year was one of those years where you wanted to see Luis Robert in person. You wanted to see the development of Eloy Jimenez and Yoan Moncada and what's next with, you know, players like Jose Abreu, who won an MVP, Tim Anderson, Lucas Giolito. We wanted fans in the stands for the no-hitter when Lucas threw a no-hitter in our own ballpark. You know, this was the year to really invest into these guys, and I think a lot of our fans, from the conversations we're having, a lot of our fans did do that. It just had to be from afar. And now, you know, hopefully the next step, we do have fans and they can, you know, this is a young, energetic team that will feed off the energy that our fans will bring in. And we look forward to hosting our fans. Yes, it was a bummer for the entire, you know, marketing, communications, community relations, baseball department to not have fans in the stands, and we look forward to seeing what this team looks like with that home field advantage.
The number one sales tool, Brooks, for any team is their television broadcast. And this year, for the first time, we got to see what Jason Benetti and Steve Stone could do with a championship caliber team. And it was really enlightening and fun to watch. We saw, you know, somewhat of a vaudeville act between Jason and Steve when the team wasn't very good. Entertaining us in a different way. And when it got down to broadcasting a very good team all year long, it was enlightening.
Yeah, I told both Jason and Steve, and you know, hopefully it's not because it was a 60-game sprint, but I believe, and I know a number of people believe, that this was their very best year together. And they, you know, Steve Stone is so talented and can really explain the game, you know, in a way that is understandable for people who may not have an understanding of the game, but at the same time can always educate somebody who follows the game very closely. And, you know, he has a great way of bringing the game to life, and Jason has a terrific way of leading him in and out of what they do. I'll put him up against anybody and in the TV broadcast across baseball as one of the very best. And we're lucky to have both of them and really appreciate the work that they put into it because these guys get after it and they care about the production. They care about engaging with fans. And it certainly shows in the broadcast that they genuinely like each other and they both love the game of baseball. And that makes it a lot of fun.
Brooks, did you have anything that you did that is going to remain, even if there are fans in the stands? Like, I mean, I thought you guys did a very good job with the cardboard cutouts, and there were some great angles and great stories on that. Rich Dotson and his father sitting across the aisle from each other was amazing. I know you did the thing that had come up during the season on the air, which is like, what was it? If somebody hit a ball onto the tarp and it rolled into a hole, then some fans won. Like, you did some cool stuff. Is any of that stuff going to stick around?
Yeah, well, hopefully those seats are occupied by real humans. And the tarps in the outfield, humans or dogs on dog day can sit in those seats. We had some fun with it. You know, we had a partner in Modelo that thought it would be fun that if you hit the Modelo bottle, somebody can win something. So they made it fun. They made it engaging. And that's all that we could really do this year is try to engage our fans from afar. Our social media team did an awesome job of bringing the spirit of the team and the characters out of these baseball players, where they really did a great job of bringing them to life. And you know, these guys, you know, especially for younger kids that are playing baseball out there and the parents of those younger kids are the ones listening to this show. These are guys that are likable, that are going to be easy to follow, and they make themselves accessible. So as I look moving forward, I hope we continue to do more of that, of making our players as accessible as safely as possible. If we can get people back in the ballpark, I'd love to get rid of the tarps and the cutouts, just so these fans can get closer to this team.
A fascinating hire by the Chicago White Sox. Tony La Russa will be the manager of the team in 2021 and beyond. I know everybody enjoyed their experience with Ricky Renteria, and you couldn't find a nicer, more cooperative guy. With Tony, you have the 33 years, the Hall of Famer, and a great leader. Some bumps in the road here and there. How do you implement Tony La Russa into the mix as far as your genius with advertising and promotions and White Sox baseball?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bruce. Obviously there was a reaction that wasn't as positive as you know someone in my position would hope to Tony's hiring. You said, you know, one of the most important things of marketing any sports team is the broadcast team. You know, I'll put ahead of that, and then maybe the only thing ahead of that would be the quality of the product that you put out on the field, on the court, on the ice, whatever it may be. And I think as we look forward to marketing this club, you know, obviously you've got a guy that has Hall of Fame credentials, has won a ton of games, and has won the biggest games, right? You want to win the last game of the season, and he's done that. And he's won a World Series and has one of the great baseball minds that's out there. If that baseball mind, you know, makes us hold a big trophy at the end of the season, marketing the manager isn't all that important. It's those players that are on the field that people are going to find themselves connected to. You know, to my knowledge, at least, I don't think Tony's going to get in the batter's box, field the ball, throw a ball. He probably won't even pinch run. But it's going to be those guys that are going to be front and center for the Chicago White Sox as they hopefully put themselves in a position to hoist a trophy. And I think if you have a Hall of Fame manager that's going to make those players even better, that's only going to elevate what the product is all about. And I think we are poised to have an elite product that our fans are going to be really proud of, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to market this team to our fans.
Appreciate the candor there, Brooks, and the it has been an awkward situation because that good feeling that we discussed right off the top, that you want that to stay. You want that to stay, and it has been complicated a little bit. I think the good news is that the players are all on board, and that the players are what you'll have to push, and that, like you said, you won't have to market the manager or market some of the other stuff quite as much. It might be a little bit different in a style to do it, but I think you've got a lot of really, really good, positive front and center players that hopefully will be allowed to be the full bloom of themselves. Like Tim Anderson, nothing should take away from everything that Tim Anderson is publicly, on the field, what he does in the community. Hopefully that guy will be, you know, front and center in what you do.
No doubt, T.A. is the man, and he plays with a certain style and a flair and an emotion that's real. It's authentic, and you know, I obviously I haven't been on the phone when Tony has talked to these players, but what seems to be a central theme that comes out of these conversations that we're getting bits and pieces of is that, you know, Tony can help us be a better team. Tony can help me be a better player. You know, the coaching staff that Tony is putting together is elite, and it's going to help the Chicago White Sox win. We have a bunch of players that understand that when the team wins, they win. You know, whether it's whatever opportunities or whatever other things they may be interested in doing, being part of a winning franchise, a winning baseball club, is going to make them better. And when you cut away everything else, that's what these guys want to do. These guys want to win. And Jose Abreu, you know, the MVP, you know, is the one guy that came out that said, you know, look, I'm going to learn something. And, you know, he just wants to continue to get better and continue to rake, drive in runs, win games, hold a trophy. And if Tony La Russa is the guy that can give us the best chance to get there, these guys are going to be on board, and these guys are going to come together. One of the great things that I heard towards the end of the season was I think it was Lucas Giolito that said, you know, this clubhouse is fine. This clubhouse is tight. And, you know, I see it that way with guys like Giolito, Anderson, Pito. Those guys, they lead a clubhouse, and I'm one of the guys, maybe I'm just super optimistic, you know, that really believe that when you put a great baseball mind and a coaching staff leading a group of motivated, young, aggressive players, that, you know, it's a recipe for a lot of success and something that the fans are really going to like.
We have a minute left in this segment. Brooks, thanks for joining us so much. Happy holidays to you and your family. Good health to everybody. On the way out, what can the White Sox fans look forward to as far as the holiday season, merchandise, and also, as you mentioned, the virtual Sox Fest coming up in late January.
Awesome. Bruce, thank you for letting me get in a sales pitch. Our holiday packs are available. WhiteSox.com is a great place to go look. We are doing a virtual garage sale that benefits Chicago White Sox charities. You'll find all the information at WhiteSox.com. Our group ticket packages are available. Like I said, our holiday packs are 10-game, 20-game, 40-game, 80-game packs. 80 games, Bruce, because we're going to Iowa again. Everyone's pretty excited about that. And I think when you're looking for that special something, whether it's a Luis Robert jersey or some sort of gear, the Chicago Sports Depot is your number one best place. So WhiteSox.com will give you everything you're looking for. Sign up for our blacklist. You'll be able to get all sorts of information emailed to you when certain things and events come up and how to be part of it. And you know, I just got to say, super appreciative of you guys and the work you do. And also of all of our White Sox staff that has been working through the pandemic, and our fans who have been continue to be so loyal. So appreciate the White Sox fans out there that continue to support us.
Brooks, we appreciate you as well. Again, happy holiday seasons to you. The best of health to you, and thanks for joining us on Inside the Clubhouse.
Awesome, thanks, guys. Go Sox, and how about my Irish?
Yeah. Yeah, wait till they start playing real football teams and see what they can do.
You're sounding like my Michigan fan son, Brody Boyer. That's his comeback to everything.
Kirk Herbstreit making the case for them to be number one this morning, Brooks, while you're on with us. So,
well, I have a freshman at the school now, and she believes they're the number one team. So we'll see. You got to play the games, right, Bruce?
Absolutely. Thanks again, Brooks. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Go Sox.
All right.
It's Brooks
Boyer. Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. The White Sox signed a radio deal at some other radio station. The name and frequency escapes me, but, you know, that better not mean that we don't get high-quality guests of consequence right
well,
here.
All you have to do is have relationships, Matt, and that's it. Brooks Boyer, none better right there. When we come back, we close the show, Matt, and thank our guests. Also, get people ready for, I believe it's Rosie and Grody coming up next.
It is Rosie and Grody in Packers week. A lot of Bears and Packers, and Mitch Trubisky coming up with them at 11 o'clock. But we'll come back and wrap it up here on 670 The Score in a moment. It's Inside the Clubhouse wrapping up here on 670 The Score. Bruce, if I had to guess what the end game is for Theo Epstein, I'll go with owning the San Diego Padres along with his buddy Eddie Vedder. What do you think? Eddie's got San Diego roots. He was a surfer kid there when he submitted a demo tape that the guys in Pearl Jam liked and eventually asked him to join the band. Theo, with some roots there, learned from his mentor there in the Padres front office, Kevin Towers. It's a nice place to live and age. What do you think about Theo and veteran friends owning the Padres?
That's a good call. You know, I like that. I like that idea. I don't know if Eddie wants to invest his billions of dollars in a baseball team, but it would be a fun fantasy for both of them to be able to work together and do that and build the Padres into a championship team. They're not far right now under A.J. Preller, who will probably be one of our guests next week, the vice president and general manager of the Padres. They are a juggernaut in the National League moving forward, much like what the White Sox are doing in the American League. So from all that, I think that would be fun. And it makes a lot of sense because they have such a great connection and they have some great contacts of people that could put together a pretty good group with a lot of money.
Yeah, I think so. It's exciting to know that that you're working on A.J. Preller for next week. They're a fascinating team and super fun. They really are National League White Sox. And I hope it will be an active and fruitful and interesting offseason. Not sure when everything's going to kick off, but Wednesday is a big day, that's for sure. I'm sure people can hear you during the week on The Score. I will be on The Score during the week as well, and people can follow you on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
And our website at 670thescore.com, where I write White Sox and Cubs just about two or three times a week in the offseason. people to thank, including Brooks Boyer, the White Sox, Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, and our good friend Wayne Randazzo, Mets broadcaster. Have a great week, Matt.
Thanks, Bruce. You too. Thank you to Adam Sidzinski for doing a great job producing the show as well. Rosie and Grody are next. Enjoy your weekend, everyone, and keep listening to 670 The Score.